Teaching kids to handle money wisely is a valuable gift. Teaching them to honor God with their money is priceless. I am Rob West. Proverbs 22:6 reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Today, I'll talk with Matt Bell about training up your children to handle money in a way that honors the Lord. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, my friend Matt Bell is our guest today. He's the managing editor at Sound Mind Investing and underwriter of this program. He's the author of several books on personal finance as well. And his latest, which was published by Focus on the Family, is just out. I'm so excited about it. It's titled Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. And isn't that something we all want? Matt, great to have you with us.
Rob, great to be with you.
Well, so the first part of your book's title, Matt, is Trusted. I'd love to start there today. What does that mean when it comes to teaching kids to honor God with His resources?
Yeah, the title comes from Luke 16:10, which says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." Mm. And really, it traces back to the very first parenting class that my wife, Jude, and I ever took back in our church, back when we used to live in Chicago. There was an associate pastor, Keith, and his wife, Keg, or Caroline, who taught about parenting, and we were about to have our first child, and they used the metaphor of a funnel. They said that when a kid is super little, super young, the funnel is really tight, right? We're making all the decisions for them, what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat. But as they get older, we should start teaching them and trusting them with more and more responsibility. The funnel opens up wider and wider, and as they prove themselves trustworthy, we continue down that path. And so that's really the essence and really the framework used in the book.
I love that. I mean, faithful with a little is such a big theme here in God's Word. Then we're entrusted with much later, and clearly that's something we want for our kids. Let's just talk about the importance of this, Matt. You and I know this is a critical skill that we need to teach our kids, not only on the literacy side, but really God's heart as it relates to money. But why? Why is it so important?
Because on the one hand, there's so much at stake here, yeah. And also on the other hand, because there's so much opportunity here, so much potential. And I say there's so much at stake here, Rob, because it isn't that if we don't teach our kids about money, they won't learn. They will learn, but the culture, our consumer culture, will be their teacher, and that's not the greatest idea. And there's also so much potential here, because if you think about the idea of compounding, you know, people usually think of compounding when they think of investing, and it's a very, very powerful idea that can really multiply money over time. But I love to think about that same power of compounding in all areas of finance. So you get a young child who catches a vision for generosity and starts to build some habits and practices of giving toward God's kingdom work in this world. And the way that God could multiply that over their lifetime is just, it's impossible for us to fully imagine. Or a young person who develops just a kind of generally healthy relationship with God and money, how that'll flow into his future relationship with his future wife, how it'll impact his lifelong relationship with Christ, how that will free him to make the difference with his life he was designed to make. I just love the potential of getting kids at an early age started in the right direction financially.
That's so good. We've got just about a minute before our first break here, Matt. Obviously, a lot of parents are struggling with their own finances. They don't see their own finances as being in order, and therefore they're hesitant to teach on the topic because of that. How would you counsel them?
Yeah, I would say for one thing, you know, none of us ever get the money thing fully right. We're all in process to some degree. And so be encouraged that you don't have to have your finances completely perfect in order to do this. But secondly, in each of the really practical chapters in the book, I spend the first portion speaking directly to parents because it is important for us to serve as role models. And so as long as we're in the game, we're learning, we're continuing to apply biblical principles to our own finances, that's really the goal.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, there's so much to cover here, Matt. And as you said, a lot is at stake and we've got to start early. We've got to be really thoughtful about it and practical. But when we do, there's incredible benefits that can come from that. And I know you've seen that play out in your own life. So when we come back with Matt Bell today, we'll be talking about the role of social media. How do you overcome the world's negative influences? He mentioned generosity. We'll unpack that a little bit more. So much still to cover. We're talking with Matt Bell today. More just around the corner. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do you struggle with post-holiday blues, that feeling of sadness or disappointment once a holiday is over? With family and friends gone and a messy house to clean, it's certainly understandable to be sad, but we have great news to cling to. 3 days after Jesus died for our sins, a few women came to the tomb, but were surprised to find no body. Imagine their surprise when they saw two men in glorious clothing telling them these words in Luke 24, "He is not here, he is risen." This statement has changed world history. Once covered in darkness, this world has been exposed to the light of victory in Jesus Christ. Are you feeling discouraged today? Cling to Jesus. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my friend Matt Bell. He's managing editor at Sound Mind Investing. He's the author of the new book published by Focus on the Family titled Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. And isn't that something we all want? Matt, great to have you with us today.
So good to be with you too, Rob.
Matt, we've been talking about the role we have and really the opportunity we have to train our kids in the ways of the Lord in all areas, but certainly as it relates to our discussion today in this area of money management. I'd like to pick up on your story, Matt. You grew up not knowing you had to work to earn money, but something happened in your 20s. Why don't you tell us that story?
Yeah, something very life-changing. I mean, totally unexpectedly, I received an inheritance of $60,000 from an uncle who passed away. And I saw it as this incredible, probably once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so I wanted to make the most of it. I created my dream job out of that money. I created a newsletter for golfers who take golf vacations, which was this great excuse to go play Pebble Beach and some other courses.
Wow. Yeah.
That I wanted to play. And I was having the time of my life. But the one thing that was not true at that time was that the business was successful. It was not successful. But I was so acclimated to that great life I was living and so blind to what was happening with the money that when the actual money ran out, I kept funding that life on credit cards and eventually got myself in a lot of trouble with credit cards. Moved home with my parents for a time. It really was what I like to describe as the unintentional reenactment of the Bible's parable of the prodigal son. But yes, through that experience of returning home, a good friend from college reached out, shared his faith. Ultimately, it's what God used to draw me into a relationship with him and to introduce me ultimately to my life's work.
That's powerful. What were some of the biggest takeaways?
You know, I remember reading the Parable of the Talents as a new Christian in my late 20s, and that was so profound for me because, you know, anybody that's around stewardship circles, they kind of take it for granted, and it's easy to do that. But it was so profound for me to see what is my relationship with God and money to be, that God is the owner. He temporarily entrusts, generously entrusts everything that we have to our care. And we are to manage it wisely. We're to manage it according to his principles and for his purposes. And that was a profoundly new way of looking at money for me.
Well, it really is. And it's a great approach when we think about passing these lessons on to our kids. Now, in the book, Matt, you encourage parents to start small. And I assume that means for both children and the lessons you want to teach them, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you think about generosity, so John Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest people that ever lived, he apparently once said that he never could have tithed on his first $1 million if he hadn't tithed on his first salary, which was $1.50 a week. And that's a good lesson. So, you know, sometimes people wake up and they're like I did in my late 20s and come to faith and start to read what the Bible teaches about generosity. And it's kind of hard to just go from zero to, you know, where the Bible is challenging us to give it at a very generous level. But for a kid to grow up with that just being normal for them, that we're going to honor the Lord with the first portion, the first fruits of all that we receive, that's such a helpful thing to get that from the get-go.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, one of the challenges for parents you write about, Matt, is this idea of growing up in a target market. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, marketing is just all around us. It's in the air we breathe. You know, it used to be that marketing messages, advertising messages were much easier to see. You know, they would interrupt a television program that we're watching, for example. But now it's just woven into the fabric of everyday life. And so it's a little bit harder to see it, to notice it. And that makes it all the more powerful because we're just taking it in all the time. And so social media, you know, that's marketing on steroids. You know, that's the comparison game on steroids. And so it's really important for us to teach our kids when they're super young to identify, okay, this is a marketing message and this is programming, because very young kids don't even understand the distinction there. And then as they grow older, for us to help them navigate that, help them unpack the messages. So is this message true? Is this product being promoted for its functional benefits, its value, its quality, or is there something larger being conveyed there that may not be true that ties it to our identity and self-worth?
Let's talk about that a bit more, because that's so important, especially this world that our kids are growing up in. You talk about in this same section the greatest identity theft ever. Unpack that for our listeners.
Yeah, in I think it's around the 1920s or so, or the early 1900s, that the word consumer came into popular use. Prior to that time, people were talked about as workers or citizens. But that word consumer, you know, we hear it so much now that we just take it for granted. But if you look it up, you'll probably be a little offended to be called a consumer, because to consume literally means to use up and to waste and to squander. And, you know, so it's important to understand that that's not who God made us to be. God made us to be stewards or managers of his resources. So I like to encourage us to understand that and to teach it to our kids, because these two different identities, the consumer versus the steward, come with a very different set of assumptions about our life purposes. The consumer believes that life is all about me, my pleasure, my comfort, my happiness, whereas God's word teaches us that life is about God. The consumer believes that money and things are the causes of happiness, whereas really God's word conveys that our relationships are the causes of happiness. And the consumer believes that life is a competition to have more, whereas God's word teaches us that life is about contribution, to use our gifts and talents and passions to make a difference in the world.
Oh, that's so powerful. I know folks are taking notes because these are big ideas we need to instill in our kids as we counteract the messages of this world. Matt, you mentioned social media. What advice would you offer for our listeners today as they help their kids navigate social media as it relates to money management?
I would say a couple of things. I talk about different parenting roles in the book, and one of those important roles is the gatekeeper, which is hard sometimes as parents to say no and to set up the rules. But it's really important for us to set some boundaries around the use of screens in general, and then more specifically around social media, to be willing to be that odd family that does not allow screens to be in bedrooms, for example, or doesn't allow the use of certain social media platforms. Or when we do start to allow it, that we're intentional in talking to our kids about how to do it wisely. And I'll tell you, there's a great documentary out that's widely available called The Social Dilemma. And if people will watch that with their kids, that'll be a very powerful experience. We watched it with our kids, and they ended up making some choices about their use of screens and social media that we hadn't even put on them. And we had some rules and regs around that, but they saw that, and something about that documentary convicted them to take some additional steps.
Wow, that is so good. Well, we have just barely scratched the surface. There's so much more to talk about in this book, including the 7 money management skills kids need to learn before leaving home. So, Matt, will you come back in a few weeks and go over the rest of this?
I would be more than happy to, Rob.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us today, my friend. Grateful to have you with us.
Really good to be with you.
Matt Bell's been our guest today. You can read a lot more about this in his book. It's called Trusted, Preparing Your Kids for a Lifetime of God-Honoring Money Management. Again, you can pick it up wherever you get your books. It's published by Focus on the Family. And folks, this is such a critical topic. Start early and be equipped by a great resource like this. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA Educational Program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner. Let's take your calls on anything financial today. What are you thinking about? Let's chat about it today. We'll apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You see, there's transcendent wisdom in God's word about every facet of our lives, but certainly that includes this area of money management. 2,300 verses dealing with money and possessions. Why? Not because God wants something from us. It's all His. It's because of what God, and I, in my opinion, it's because of what He wants for us. You see, money and money management can be that primary competitor to lordship. And yet when we hold it loosely and recognize God as the owner and surrender it to Him fully, it changes our hearts. I believe it calibrates our hearts to His and draws us into a more intimate relationship with Him. His desire is not fear and frustration and guilt. His desire is peace of mind and contentment and joy through generous giving and being able to provide for our families. Well, as we apply God's wisdom to our financial decisions and choices, we can see that bear out. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be without difficulty. We'll certainly have our challenges, but we've at least put ourselves in a position to experience God's best, and that's our goal today. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear your testimonies, but also your questions today related to your finances. And we'll look forward to hearing from you when you call right now. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in New York. Hi, Jay. Thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me, and thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you, sir.
So my question is, I'm close to retirement. My wife has just retired. We had numerous properties. We sold them. And as we sold them and we deposited the money in the bank, we took the money back out and put it into our home safe because we didn't know exactly what to do with it to keep it. We want to be able to use it when we want to, if we want to travel or whatever, but yet we would like to have it invested somewhere where we could, make some income on it, but not for long term.
Yes. All right. And what are you thinking about, given that you want to keep it safe and liquid? Kind of what are you wrestling with in terms of the options?
Well, I know that, there's CDs out there right now that are 3.5 years or something of the sort that have a 4% interest, but that just seems like too long to tie up a sum of money that's, in my opinion, is not going to really make enough money to do that. I'd rather try to find something else, and I'm not too sure of what else is out there.
Yeah. And how readily available do you need these funds, Jay? And I guess as a part two to that question, do you have separate from this what I call your emergency fund that you'll have immediate access to for the unexpected?
Well, it's all together at this point. And, we're in the process of selling our final house, which was the one that we lived in, our bigger house, and we've downsized. And so we're in the process of selling that. So we'll have sufficient funds for emergency to set aside. Okay. I know that we should probably set 2 months of expenses aside for emergency funds. But as far as the rest goes, we want to travel. We have a camper. We want to travel, you know, while we're still able to. And then when we're done traveling, we'll sell our camper and we'll be in full retirement.
Yeah, very good.
But until then, I'm just not sure what to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'd love for you to keep, especially as you head into this season, a minimum of 3 months expenses liquid, as much as six. How much is the total, including the proceeds from the sale? Is it above $250,000?
It's about that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I would encourage you just to keep it in bank products. You mentioned CDs. You could even use high-yield savings. So right now with high-yield savings accounts, you can get 3.75% interest with the online banks, no fees with FDIC insurance. If you wanted to look at a CD option, you could get up above 5%. I saw over the weekend a 5% CD for 10 months. So you don't have to lock up the money for anywhere close to 3 years. In fact, I would encourage you not to, and still get north of 5%, which would give you a decent, you know, return on this money, just given where interest rates are right now, plus the safety of knowing that the FDIC is there to step in and make sure that your money is protected and available. Given that you're, you know, below that $250,000 threshold, you don't have to think about having multiple account titles or using multiple banks, because, you know, as long as you stay under that, then I think you're good. So what I would recommend, Jay, is that you look at an online bank. I'd look at Marcus.com. That's the retail operation of Goldman Sachs. They're paying 3.75% right now on their high yield savings. They're the one with the 5.05 CD for 10 months right now. You could look at Capital One 360 would be another. You could go to bankrate.com as well and even search and sort all of the banks, either savings accounts or CDs, to look at who's got the very best terms and rates. And they even rate the strength of the bank. But again, as long as it's a reputable bank, you know, with FDIC insurance, I'd be comfortable with it. And what you can do then, if you've never used an online savings or checking account, what I do is link that online savings account at the online bank, which, by the way, they're able to pay those rates because they don't have the brick and mortar operation, so they can pass that on to you. I link that to your brick and mortar checking account. And that way you can move money back and forth fee-free and usually within 24 to 48 hours.
Wow, that does sound great. I'd never heard of that before, and that sounds like something that I'm going to want to do, because the 10-month CD is really great at a good interest, and being able to have my funds, my other funds, getting good interest and be able to transfer them back to my checking account when I need them. That's really good. So that's been very helpful. I will definitely check into that online banking.
Awesome. Very good, Jay. Well, listen, if we can help you further, sir, or you have questions that come up along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. And I think, this will be exactly what you're looking for. God bless you, my friend. Listen, we've got a few lines open today. We've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking to Diane, and then we'll talk to Nancy in Texas, and perhaps your question as well. The phone number to call, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance, where God owns it all, and we're stewards, and money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Much more straight ahead. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school, or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM.
Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got a few lines open for your questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Diane. You're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm concerned about the new digital currency and how will that affect my access to my money in a credit union.
Yeah, well, digital currency is still a long way off. Joe Biden asked by executive order the several government agencies to basically study the U.S. government's approach to digital assets, and they came up with policy recommendations tackling everything from the digital dollar to regulations on crypto. There's over 100 countries representing nearly, 95% of the global gross domestic product that are exploring a digital currency. And now with the U.S. stepping up its activity, nearly all of these countries are going to be looking to Washington. It's a long way off, though. China started its work in 2016, and they're still in the pilot phase. Now, it's a massive beta, 260 million users, but it's been quite a while. So here's the reality, though, Diane, is that central bank doesn't have the authority, it's constitutionally clear, to even put this in place. Coinage is a congressional function. They don't regulate coinage. They regulate banks. And it's going to be difficult to get the legislative buy-in due to the lack of trust. The Federal Reserve doesn't have the highest degree of trust right now, just kind of given what they've gotten us into with this high inflation because of their easy money policies and zero interest rates for so long. And we've got divided government. And I think, you know, you'd have to have both houses and the president aligned because of the privacy concerns is really the big issue related to a digital currency. If we could do it right, it would be really a great way to promote the dollar as the world's reserve currency. You can imagine how an encrypted dollar would be very desirable around the world, but it's still a long way off. So I don't think you really need to be thinking about that right now, just in terms of your own finances, because we're not anywhere close to having a digital dollar. So as it relates to your money, you know, funds in a credit union or a bank, whether it's the NCUA or the FDIC, it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And we saw that play out with some of these issues we had in the regional banks in the last several weeks, where
FDIC stepped in. The money was available, you know, on Monday morning to be withdrawn, even though the bank had failed. And that would be true with your credit union as well. So I think at this point, at least from my perspective, digital dollar, yes, it's being looked at. Yes, it has a lot of problems. I'm not a big fan of it, just because I think it's going to result in a lot more government overreach into our lives. But it's a long way off, and I think the bank is still the safest place for your money at this point. But give me your thoughts or follow-up questions.
That makes me feel a lot better. So these people who are talking about July are just ahead of their time.
Yeah, there's nothing coming anytime soon on that with regard to a digital currency.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, Diane, thank you for calling today. God bless you. 800-525-7000, a few lines open today with your questions here on Faith and Finance. To Texas we go. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for what you just said, because about the cryptic, about the coins, the digital type of currency not being anything we need to look at or worry about immediately. So that's, I'm sure you just made a lot of people feel really better.
Well, thank you.
So I have a question. My mom, when she passed away, she left a brokerage account. She opened up a brokerage account for me.
Okay.
And it's just declining. So I need to know, at 72 years old, what's the best thing to do with the money that's in there? I don't think I need to leave it in there.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Nancy, and I'm sorry to hear about your mom's passing. Is it in a mutual fund, a basket of stocks, or is it in like one or two individual stocks?
It's in several different stocks.
Okay. All right. What's the value of the portfolio roughly?
Right now, it's about $3,500.
$3,500.
Not much.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. And if you just kind of take a step back and look at your overall financial life, I mean, how are you viewing this money? Is this money you might look at taking out and paying down some debt or shoring up your emergency fund? Or did your, you know, do you have certain desires with it, given that it was an inheritance, just in terms of how you use it? Or do you really want to sock it away for the long haul? Give me your sense of that.
Well, I'd like to... I mean, it's not much, I know, but yeah. And it may be more. I looked at an old statement, but both is the answer to that. You know, I'd like to divide it to a point where I can use it now a little bit, but also to sock some away for emergencies and for the future.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. Do you have what I call an emergency fund, which would be a liquid savings account for the unexpected?
Yes.
Okay. And how many months roughly worth of expenses would you say you have?
About 6 months.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's excellent. All right. So I would consider that fully funded. Beyond that, do you have any consumer debt?
No, I actually am pretty much a cash basis person.
Okay. That's great. And then are you working or are you in retirement?
I am working. I would love to retire, but I can't.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. And are you putting something away for retirement every month?
Not as much as I'd like to.
Okay.
I'd like to put more in there. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And obviously the more you can put in on a salary deferral basis, the more you're going to have, you know, down the road. So I'd try to do that as best you can. And that's going to come down to just trying to control your expenses. In terms of how you might think about this money, I mean, you could put it in what's called a Roth IRA. You might be familiar with that. It's an after-tax contribution, and then you could invest it. It's a smaller amount of money, so I would really encourage you to think about a high-quality mutual fund, whether that's a fund, you know, that could be recommended from our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, or just what's called a robo-advisor, where, you know, at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios would be a great example. You'd answer a series of questions, and then the algorithm would basically take the answers to your questions about your age and risk tolerance and goals and objectives, and it would create a very low cost but very widely diversified portfolio of what are called exchange traded market funds, and these would be indexes that just capture the broad market, both the stock and the bond market, so that as the overall market grows, once we get through this recession and the Fed's done raising interest rates, I think it'll take off. We've got some longer term issues in this country, but I think in the near term, the very best place for you to build wealth is in the stock and bond market. So I would do that. Again, either head over to soundmindinvesting.org and they can help you with some mutual fund suggestions and you could do it yourself, or go to something like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. You'd just open an account there. You could open a Roth, make that contribution, and then it would automatically, you know, build that portfolio for you. And it's very inexpensive compared to a traditional managed portfolio. And anytime you add money to it, and I'd recommend you do that, it would automatically reinvest it. Now, make sure you have at least a 5-year time horizon, or preferably 8 to 10, on that money. Otherwise, I'd keep it out of the market. I hope that gives you some ideas to think about. We appreciate you being on the program today, Nancy. God bless you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl stops by and a few more questions. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Is something missing in your spiritual life since you stopped going to church? Jesus never intended for us to live the Christian life alone. He wants us to be a part of a spiritual family of believers. Maybe you stopped going to church because you got hurt or disillusioned. Maybe you got offended or busy, or maybe sin got a foothold in your life. Perhaps COVID made you stop. Whatever the reason, isn't it time you started going again? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we kick off the week. It's great to always have Bob Dahl on Mondays to give us a week's preview as he looks out over the coming week and helps us understand what's going on in the markets and the economy. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, good morning to you, sir.
And to you, my friend.
Kind of a flattish market, at least for the Dow Jones and the S&P. NASDAQ selling off today. As you get the week started, what are you looking at, thinking about?
Thinking a lot about upcoming earnings reports, Rob. It's interesting, in the last 30 days, really since the banking crisis, analysts have stopped revising their estimates by much, and so they're sort of flat from them because they don't know what to do. They're waiting for the actual earnings. Yeah. And the conference calls with the CEOs to figure out what the rest of the year is going to look like. I'll give you an example. Bank earnings prior to the banking crisis for this quarter were expected to be up 6%. Today, up 6%. No changes of note made. And, of course, things have changed. There's just so much uncertainty around there. So underlying message is I expect estimates to ratchet to the downside side slowly but surely, as they were prior to the banking crisis, Rob.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Speaking of the banking crisis, Bob, is that largely behind us, or do you feel like there's more to come there?
Look, I think the major earthquake already happened. Could there be aftershocks? Yeah, there certainly could be. I sometimes say it this way. You don't let the Fed raise rates from 0 to 4.75 in 12 months, have a couple of banks fail, get up on your feet and start skipping down the road thinking everything is right. behind us. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it has to be another financial problem. It could be the economy slows down and we have a recession. There are more consequences to that Fed record rate increase. I hope it's not more banking problems, but there are probably some aftershocks. You probably know we're still seeing some disintermediation, money moving from banks to other forms of deposit. It is slowing, and that's good news, but we're not totally out of the woods, Rob.
Yeah, no question about it. All right. Well, we've talked periodically just about the overall health of the economy. In your Dahl's deliberations this week, you were talking about the leading economic indicators. What are we seeing at this point?
So the leading economic indicators obviously lead the economy with reasonable accuracy, and they're down 11 months in a row.
Wow.
I don't know that that's ever been seen before. So this uniformity of downward revisions for this length of time, I guess we can still get out of this without a recession, Rob, but the odds are not in our favor.
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously, the market always looking out, Bob. You know, we've been talking about the fact, economists have been talking about the fact that the base case is, in fact, a recession this year. So has that been priced in, or do you think we'll perhaps retest or even breach the October lows when it's a reality?
I think the latter. While it's true that is the mainline scenario, there are a lot of people saying no signs of recession, no signs of recession. Maybe we're going to have a soft landing. So I think there's a lot of hope, and that's crept its way into the market in this recent rally we've seen from the lower end toward the higher end of the trading range, from 3,800 at the banking crisis low to roughly 4,100 on the S&P today. My view is if we're going to have a recession, you know my answer to that question is probably yes. We likely have to breach the October low or thereabouts, which is a modest double-digit percentage decline from here. Never fun living through on a long-term chart. You won't even see it.
Yeah, that last point is really key if we keep the long-term perspective. I think that's really essential. Last question, Bob. What about bonds? You know, we've talked about how this is probably the time to be looking at bonds, certainly more favorably. Last year was rough, but we've got a lot of retirees that are sitting on a lot of cash wondering if now's the time to take advantage of them. So if yes, then how should they go about that, the typical retiree?
Certainly. So my advocate position for that type of retiree is you don't have to buy a long bond to get the return on the bond market. You can get short-term paper that's in the fours, approaching 5%, and that's the kind of thing I would look at. Two-year paper, certificates of deposit. We've had quite a run out the curve in the bond market, from yield 4.25 to 3.43 as we speak. I'd wait for a pause before I went and bought longer-term bonds. But that shorter-term paper, Rob, is pretty attractive for the retiree.
All right. Very good. Well, Bob, we always appreciate your insights. I know you've got a busy week ahead, but we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations Market Commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Back to the phones we go. Let's head to Texas. Andrew, you've been very patient, sir. Go ahead.
Well, actually, thanks for taking my call. But actually, you covered this already. I've got about $30,000. Sitting in a traditional savings account linked to my checking,
yeah,
because it's sort of an emergency fund money,
yeah,
and I'm just not sure that I'm taking advantage of that. And I got in on the tail end of what you were talking to that other gentleman about. Could you just give me some advice on that?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. You know, I like this approach. I mean, I recommend for savings the online banks. You can get same FDIC insurance. You can still be connected to a very sizable financial institution. I threw out the example of Marcus.com. That's the retail operation of Goldman Sachs. You know, they're paying 3.75% right now on a high yield savings in terms of interest. There's no fees, so it's completely fee free in terms of opening that and maintaining that savings account, no minimum balances, although you've got quite a bit of money there, and you can link it up to your checking account and move money back and forth, you know, without any fees there either in 24 to 48 hours. And then they've got a 10-month CD that they were just introduced last week at 5.05. So that would be an example. You certainly don't have to use that one. You could go to bankrate.com and search and sort all of the online banks to see who's got the best savings interest rates and CD rates, and they even rate the banks. As long as you have FDIC insurance and you're with a sizable, respected institution, then I'm completely comfortable with you doing that. And getting rid of the brick and mortar bank will allow you to get a lot more yield just because they don't have that operating cost and they can pass that on through to their depositors. So I like that approach a lot for you in this case, Andrew. But give me your thoughts.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's, you know, I just have to have access to it when I need it. It's sort of an emergency fund.
Yeah.
And so that sounds like something that would work for me. And you said it was banklink.com to explore.
Yeah, it's actually Bankrate, R-A-T-E, bankrate.com. You can, you know, tell them you're looking for a CD or you're looking for savings, and then they'll just give you, as of that moment, you know, who's got the very best rates and terms out there. But a good example of that would be Marcus.com, M-A-R-C-U-S. You could certainly check that one out. Hope that helps you, Andrew. If we can serve you in any other way along the way, don't hesitate to give us a call. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's stay in Texas. Ruth, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have my money in a credit union here in Texas, and they did a conversion approval. And I thought it was good at the time, whereby they came off the FDIC, and the money is now insured by the insurance company. I thought it was good at the time, but then I got an acknowledgement of disclosure from them, which says if the company was to fail, let me see if they said this institution is not federally insured.
Yes, ma'am.
And if the institution fails, the federal government does not guarantee that the depositor will get back the depositor's money. So what do you think? They say, however, your deposits are insured by ASI. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, some deposits at state chartered credit unions are insured by private insurers. So these private insurers provide non-federal share insurance coverage of deposits that are not backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. It doesn't mean that your deposits aren't safe in a credit union backed by private insurance, but it's not the U.S. government. So you'd have to check out the credentials and history of the company providing the insurance. But if that makes you uncomfortable, then I would move your money into a federally chartered credit union backed by the NCUA, which is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, or into a bank that's backed by the FDIC. But you're exactly right. What's happened here is that state chartered bank is not providing government backing. It's probably a private insurance.
Okay. Because it's a sizable amount I have there, and I don't want to lose my money.
Yeah, no, I certainly understand that. And I think you might have a bit more peace of mind, Ruth, if you were to move that over to either a federally chartered credit union or a bank with FDIC insurance. And that way you'll know that if something were to happen, you know, the U.S. government's going to step in like they did with Signature Bank and with the bank, Silicon Valley Bank. So I'd perhaps look at making a move. You could do some research there locally or online. Again, bankrate.com is a great website that's an independent third party that rates these banks. And could provide you some great information. But what you'd be looking for is that federal charter to get you the NCUA, or in the case of a bank, FDIC. I think that's perhaps your next move. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Jack in Arkansas, I apologize. We're out of time. I'd love to tackle your question. Let's see if Pat can get your number and we can get you on tomorrow. We'd love to be able to talk about your tornado damage and how you should think about that insurance claim. I know you've probably been going through a lot there. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. On behalf of my team today, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're delighted that you were along with us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. By the way, check us out at faithfi.com to learn more. Faithfi.com. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.